Machen wir jetzt einen Blick in die Türkei. Und da freut es mich ganz besonders, dass wir mit Erol Adayılmaz nicht nur einen ganz prominenten Wirtschaftstreibenden aus der Türkei gewinnen konnten als Referenten, sondern auch einen sehr prominenten Politiker. Ich freue mich sehr auf Ihr Referat.
I would like to thank you all for getting everyone here, getting this nice organization. But at the same time that, you know, speaking at the last part of the events is always a problem, is always hard. Not only because the distinguished speakers make you look down, but also everybody, of course, talks about the things that you're going to speak, and you are left with nothing to say, right? But as I was listening the other speakers, I was changing my speech, and I realized that none of the speakers were businessmen. So I decided to talk from the business perspective. I'm an engineer, businessman, and a politician, and I like to talk about the Black Sea region from a businessman, engineer, and a politician perspective. First, I like to draw a picture. Then I'd like to talk briefly about the problems that we are facing in the Black Sea region. Then, again, touch base on what has been done on the state level and what we can do in the private sector, right? And it was also a good surprise for me to see so many of you spoke on about Turkey. And maybe I can also touch a little bit on the details on how Turkey accomplished what we have accomplished in the last 10 years. If you want to draw a picture of the region, in Asia we have the big giants of Asia, India and China, right, on the east of the region. And then we have Europe, US and Japan, who are trying to keep their economic and political power. And plus we have Russia, also a country in the Black Sea region, regaining its power due to its significant natural resources. Then we have Azerbaijan, Iran, and Iraq, who are also natural resources-rich countries. And plus, we have Turkey, which is shining in the moment as an influential country with its growing economy, dynamic population. I have to say that 50% of the population in Turkey are very young, still younger than 30 years old, unlike Japan or Europe. And its rich culture. Before coming, I looked up the internet and I wrote down the 12 different countries of the Black Sea region, and I add them up their population and their GDPs. As my friend Gerhard spoke this morning, he said that of course the two most influential countries in that 12 countries is Russia and Turkey. They their GDPs is. Russia's is more than 1 billion. It's about close to 2 billion. And Turkey is getting close to $1 billion per year. If you add them up, the total GDP, it goes to $3.5 billion, right? And the population is about 336 million. So if we compare those numbers with the European population and European GDP, I think that gives us a good picture of how are the Black Sea region is unsaturated and complementary. Europe's GDP is more than 17 billion with only a 500 million population. So the populations are about the same, almost, right? 336 and 500, you can compare. But the GDP levels, there's a huge difference, five times more. The reasons, I mean, why the Black Sea region is actually maybe considered part of Europe, but why there's such a big difference on the GDP levels? It actually gives us also the opportunities. I mean, sooner or later, the GDP level is going to go up, right? As a businessman perspective, these are the locations that we have to invest. And I have to also agree on what Mr. Gerhard said, our professor from the Innsbruck University. He said about the region that Black Sea region doesn't exist. I almost agree. I mean, Black Sea region doesn't exist. I mean, if you have Turkey and Russia, right? But the other parts of the other countries, they don't contribute much on the GDP. So we have to create the Black Sea region. What are some of the issues and challenges? As I mentioned a little bit before, there's a huge difference in terms of economy and the size of the economy. For example, let's talk about EU members and Turkey, right? They are developed and integrated in global economy. It's a huge advantage, right? Everybody would agree. But at the same time, it's a disadvantage. When Europe is sick, Turkey is getting sick, right? When Japan is sick, Europe is getting sick about the economy level. On the other hand, we have Moldova and Caucasus countries. They are small, very small GDPs, but at the same time, they are isolated and they are not easily affected by the global trends. There's a problem in US, in Japan or China. They don't care much because they're not integrated in the global economy. At the same time, we have Russia and Azerbaijan, two important countries in the region. They have their own challenges with the economy, right? Because the economy is mainly based on the natural resources. And we have Ukraine, for its part. It's a very important country of the region. And they have problems, or they have social diversities, political problems. They have a different economic structure, which is much dependent on low value-added heavy industry. I believe, for a businessman, I think the biggest problem in the region as a businessman, I think the visa issues and borders. At this point, I can give you a small example on Turkey and what we have done in the last 10 years. Turkey consistently abolished visa requirements with its neighbors and with all the countries that we're talking with. For example, Africa, South America, Asia. I mean, we recently abolished visas with Russia, Olga would know, right? Ukraine is also abolished. We can clearly see when the visa requirements, when we don't have the visa requirements, you can see a clear increase on the trade between those two countries. Because business are very dynamic right now. I mean, it's not like 10 years ago or 20 years ago. You make business plans, you make meeting plans daily. You need to go somewhere, you go tomorrow, right? But if you need a visa, you don't go. And you don't develop business. That's it. You sell machinery to Greece. If there's a problem with the machines, you have to send your mechanics. If your mechanics can't travel, or let me tell you what they do to get a visa. They apply. They give them a date. You know, if they know some people in the consulate, they gave him like in 2 days. If they don't know anyone, they gave him in 2 weeks. They apply, they pay money, and there's a chance that they might like get it because he didn't like his attire or, the way he talked, right? So that hurts the country, the original country, and plus, in that case, I'm talking about, let's say, just an example, Turkey, Greece, the Turkish company, but it also affects the Greek company. The machines are not working. Just an example, right? I think that's a big issue. And Turkey, for example, the biggest economic partner of Turkey was Europe, still is Europe, but Europe is in big economic crisis, right? So the share of the trade between Turkey and Europe, if you consider the total amount of trade, is going down. But the Turkish economy is booming. It's still going up. Our exports are going up. It's amazing, but the unemployment is going down. Spain unemployment is 25%. In the young population, it's more than 50%. But our unemployment is going down. And the reason why? Because we do business with different markets. We do business with China. We do business with Russia, Ukraine. We do business with all the African countries. We do business in the old Soviet countries. And we do business at a faster rate because we don't have visa issues or border duty issues in some of them. Another problem that I think the business people are having trouble is a slow bureaucracy. Especially in the Black Sea region, we see a lot of slow bureaucracies. As a politician who is responsible for the foreign affairs in Turkey, I have a lot of businessmen coming to me asking for my help. They have fishermen, they have their boats in Romania. They're trying to get their boats, and somehow they were confiscated. It takes months, years to get them back. Why? Because the bureaucracy. I mean, they know what to do, but the bureaucracy works so slowly. It's a big problem for the business community. And we have that in Black Sea region. Lack of communication among different countries' state officials. I think this is another important point. I mean, right now we're talking, we kind of know the problems, and we understand, but the officials in Turkey, let's say, or the officials in Bulgaria or Romania, they don't talk to each other. They don't know, you know. I mean, they have their own thing that they do. We have our own thing that we do. But for some reason, they don't match. And who doesn't benefit from it? The business community doesn't benefit. They are trying to understand, or they are trying to explain the Turkish officials, hey, these guys are doing this. The officials in Turkey, they have a hard time to understand because they don't know. They never communicated with the Romanian colleagues. Vice versa. It's a problem. And I think at this point, the embassies and the consulates should work like a private consulting firms and to solve the problems and to facilitate the communication between the countries. As we actually see in the Western countries, most of the Western countries now, earlier, like 10 years or 20 years ago, or, you know, generally, they used to have their consulates or ambassadors strictly, you know, educated in foreign affairs, right? But right now, most of the consulates, I mean, I can talk about the consulates of the Western countries in Turkey, I can talk about. Most of them are now businessmen, do you know? They are businessmen who just started the foreign affairs, who just being that the first jobs, the consular jobs is in Turkey. Because why? Because they think that, you know, well, this guy is a businessman. He can understand better the business community, and he can develop the business better. And they're completely right. And I think that's what it should be. Another problem, of course, difference in legal system and best practices, you know. And at this point, I think the trade agencies or maybe consulates should offer free legal assistance for the law systems because, I mean, every country has a different law system. And that's create problems. And maybe the one of the most important issue on the Black Sea region is the national forces and long-standing animosities, rivalries between the regional players. This is, unfortunately, nationalism and animosities is very present in the region. And this should be the primary job of the politicians. It should be their priority, the first priority, to solve these issues. And instead of making populist decisions, they should make the right decisions and finish those animosities somehow. It has to be finished because we have no other option. I mean, think about it. Can you compete with Russia? Can you compete with China, Europe, with not having business with your neighbors? Impossible. There is no way. You're either going to accept that you're going to be a second world citizen or third class world citizen, or you're just going to stop that, you know, rivalry or whatever you call it, you know. Somehow you're going to start working with your neighbors. That's it. That's, yeah, we have to do it. And I think this is also a problem with the European side. Can you tell me that Europe, as it is right now, compete with China or US or maybe in the future with Africa, India? There's no way. I mean, if you want to compete, I think Europeans and European countries, great civilization, the law system works greatly, educated people, great people, but the only problem that I see with European, I mean, you have to work harder. I mean, Chinese, they work hard. So I think European people should work hard and also expand the European Union. Expand the European Union. Otherwise, there is no way that Europe can compete with US or China. What kind of institutions were built to boost the relations between the private sectors? It was actually mentioned before my speech, but the Black Sea Economic Corporation and the Black Sea Trade and Investment Promotion Program was established. They were somehow successful, I think, but they should be more successful. They should go one step further and create opportunities for the business people, business community. I think that's missing. And what the business people, the business community can do for the Black Sea region, I think there are a lot of opportunities in a lot of sectors. Some of them are energy, as we have all talked. There's a huge possibilities on cooperating with energy. I know different countries, Russia, Turkey, Azerbaijan, Kazakhstan, Iran, some of the European countries are working on building pipelines, building on power plants, and I think we're going to see more. And also, I like to mention something. In the that's my opinion, and I share with Olga, my friend Olga, and she was also she agreed with me. In some of the presentations here, we talk like Turkey and Russia, two big players, but at the same time rivals. In Turkey, this is not we see it actually, and this is not this is how it's seen by the public and by the public officials. Russia is getting and is becoming our one of our best and biggest partner, business partner. And Turkey is also, for them, a big business partner. And of course, we have also opportunities in research and development and education. And I actually believe that was a number in the first presentation that research and development funds was 3% of the GDP, that right, that the Europe plan on investing on R&D. I think this is low. I think it should be much more. And in Turkey, unfortunately, historically, we don't have any research and development budget. But in the future, we are currently increasing, and it's going to be our first priority in the future. As a Turkish businessman, I'm going to cut it short. As a Turkish businessman, I believe that we should work and invest and on the huge possibilities of the Black Sea region. Turkey is one of the Black Sea region. Russia, Ukraine, there are huge possibilities. And I think the only way to do it, if we work together and if we put our forces together. Thank you very much.
Spannende, diskutierens- und nachdenkenswerte Gedanken eines prominenten Wirtschaftstreibenden und Politikers. Vielen herzlichen Dank, Erol Adayilmaz.